Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Write Your Own Script by A.L. Brooks, narrated by Rachel Beresford. Part 1. Chapter 1.
You look tired, darling.
The words were delivered in a tone oozing with false concern, and Tamsin instantly tensed. Melinda, the young actress who had spoken, leaned forward and stared at her in the large mirror before them, cool blue eyes seeming to bore into every pore. Tamsin resisted the urge to squirm under the scrutiny. Pulling gently at her own face, the skin soft and pliable, Melinda grinned and sat back in her chair. Marie, the makeup artist, glanced quickly from one to the other, then picked up a brush and feigned disinterest.
Have you ever thought of getting any work done?
It took every ounce of professionalism Tamsin had not to retort with the venom she wished she could really exude.
I was amazed when someone told me you're still all natural. As soon as this fades,
Melinda pointed at her soft cheek,
I'm getting everything possible done.
She really was crass, and, Tamsin hesitated over the phrase but decided it fit, as common as muck. Melinda seemed to revel in hitting the front pages of the trashiest magazines. With her brassy blonde hair, clearly from a bottle, large but apparently totally natural breasts, tiny waist and long legs, she was the tabloid's favourite, and played up to that fact with alarming skill.
How many scenes do you have today?
Tamsin asked, a poor attempt at diverting the conversation, such as it was, away from their disparate looks and age. She raised her chin when Marie gently pushed it upwards and closed her eyes as the soft brush skittered over her cheeks.
Just two. I'll be down by lunchtime, so I'm heading back to the hotel for an afternoon in the spa.
Lucky you. I'll be filming a fake rainstorm and it'll be amazing if I don't come down with the flu afterwards. Marie started on Tamsin's eyes while Melinda sipped at her coffee, her narrowed eyes watching Marie work. Tamsin tried, but failed on a number of occasions, to avoid that gaze.
Marie, you're a genius,
Melinda said smoothly a few minutes later. You'd never know Tammy had all those little wrinkles now. Tamsin gripped the armrests of her chair, willing her anger to subside. These little digs had been going on all week, ever since Melinda turned up on set. 25 years younger than Tamsin, and obviously the director's favourite, she seemed to feel the need to make that point every 5 minutes of every day. She had been pushing all of Tamsin's buttons, sapping her energy in the battle to resist rising to the bait. Tamsin was already tired, and dealing with this little bitch really wasn't helping. Marie thankfully ignored Melinda as she finished Tamsin's makeup. It probably helped that Marie wasn't that much younger than Tamsin, and could probably empathise with her discomfort.
There,
she said, squinting at Tamsin in the mirror. All done. Tamsin turned her head left and right, then nodded. Thank you, Marie, it's perfect. Marie smiled, turned Tamsin's chair around so that she could exit gracefully, and stepped back to let her do so.
See you on set, Tammy, Melinda called.
Tammy. Who the fuck does she think she is? No one has ever called me Tammy. Marie's soft touch on the small of her back helped ground her, and knowing she had an ally kept her walking forward rather than turning around and slapping the younger woman. She rolled her shoulders as she exited the room. God, I'm so tired. She knew it was all self-inflicted, but she couldn't seem to stop the momentum of what she'd started 2 years previously. Turning 50 had affected her in more ways than she'd anticipated, and none of them good. A fear of what the future could entail for an actress her age had suddenly consumed her, and she'd been battling against it ever since, taking on more and more, insisting on doing ever more physically demanding roles, and trying to prove to herself and the rest of the world, which was extraordinarily fickle when it came to its love of celebrities, that she was still a viable force. It had worn her down, and she knew that deep down inside, but she couldn't seem to admit it openly. Carmen had expressed concern only a few weeks ago, and Tamsin had brushed her off. Today, however, facing the rainstorm scene, her arms already aching from the multiple retakes they'd done of the canyon scene the day before, Tamsin wondered if she shouldn't actually listen to her agent once in a while. She smiled at the crew as she passed them. She had always made a point of being approachable, remembering her early days in the business when she'd seen some of the top stars treat the crew like something less than human, and had vowed never to stoop that low. The smiles she received in return always made her feel good.
"You're late," Don snapped, his voice loud across the enclosed set.
He wasn't even looking at her, just standing with his arms folded across his broad chest, his gaze on a cameraman moving his rig into position. Don Speed was one of those young, hotshot, everyone's-talking-about-me directors who thought he was God's gift to everything. He was tall, good-looking, and exuded an air of haughty disdain for everyone and everything. Tamsin had disliked him from minute one, although she could begrudgingly admit that he had a fantastic eye for a scene. It was such a shame he had to be a total asshole as well. He'd made it perfectly clear he didn't think an actress of her age was suitable for the role, but he'd been outgunned by the producers, who had wanted to work with Tamsin for some time now. Everyone on set had picked up on the tension and tiptoed around them both. "Sorry," she replied, breezily professional over the subsurface tension. "I was in makeup."
"Trust me," Don snipped,
finally looking over, then looking her up and down.
"There isn't enough makeup in the world to hide how old you are. But don't worry, love, we'll use a soft focus lens."
Tamsin's brain went into a deep freeze. Her mouth wouldn't function. Her simmering anger suddenly threatened to boil over. Melinda giggled as she strolled over to where Don stood. That was the flame, along with the satisfied smirk on Don's face, as he realized how much his comment had hit home, which was the touch paper. A large cup of orange juice sat on a high table behind the sound boom, close to where she was standing. Her arm moved almost without thought to grab it, and in one smooth motion, fling its contents straight into his face. "Fuck you," she snarled, before turning on her heel and walking serenely off set. Chapter 2. Where the hell are we? Tamsin pushed her sunglasses up into her hair and stared out of the window. The scenery that was trundling by as the car humped and bumped its way down the country lane was pretty. That much she could begrudgingly admit. Carmen exhaled loudly. "North Norfolk, you know that." Slouching back into the comfort of the plush leather seat, Tamsin glared at Carmen, but said nothing. Their driver, Heather, the consummate professional, also said nothing. But Tamsin couldn't help wondering what she must think. She'd driven Tamsin before, of course, but not to anywhere like this. The Mercedes lurched as it ran through what must have been a crater of a pothole. The suspension on the expensive car was good, but not that good. Tamsin winced. She'd need a good yoga session after this to ease out the kinks and creaks in her spine. Thank God she'd remembered to bring her mat. They rounded a bend in the lane and swept through a pristine white wooden gate onto a gravel driveway, which curved around a wide lawn filled with trees. Beyond that stood a large house, its flint walls gleaming in the bright April sunshine. The woodwork surrounding the door and windows was painted a beautiful sage green, contrasting nicely with the two elegant bay trees flanking the front door. To her consternation, however, at a murmured word from Carmen, Heather took them past the beautiful house and down yet another narrow track to the side of it. This one was closed in by trees. Their thin branches swished and scraped at the sides and roof of the car as they passed. Tamsin stared longingly back over her shoulder as the house receded out of sight. When she turned back to the front window, she swallowed back her nerves. The lane was dark and a little creepy, and although she knew she was being irrational, she suddenly wondered just what Carmen had meant when she'd said Tamsin needed to hide away from the world for a while. She was about to speak, to put on her best haughty tone and confront Carmen about whatever this insane plan was that she'd cooked up, when the car rounded yet another bend and her words died in her throat. The lane opened out from the gloom of the enclosing trees into what she could only describe as a picture-perfect scene. Immediately in front of them was a lake, partially ringed by reeds and rushes, with a deck on the far side that led perhaps 20 meters out into the water. Tied up to that were 4 single-person kayaks, with their oars laid on the boards of the deck. Beyond the deck, sitting about 100 meters on either side of it, and therefore a good distance apart, were 2 cottages. Backed by a line of woodland that stretched as far as Tamsin could see, the cottages were symmetrical, each having a single door flanked by 2 windows. A curl of smoke rose from the chimney of the cottage on the right, and a small red car was parked in the gravel driveway. The lane split at the edge of the lake. Heather took the left branch and a minute later pulled the Mercedes up alongside the unoccupied cottage. She hastened out to open Tamsin's door. "Thank you," Tamsin murmured, pulling her sunglasses back down onto her nose, even as she stared around her at the gorgeous scenery. Of course, only one thing marred that view, which was evidence of another human close by. Before she could speak, Carmen held up a hand. "Yes, I know, it isn't the total privacy I wanted to get you." She glanced over at the other cottage, then back to Tamsin. "But at this short notice, it was the best I could do. I thought the idea was I would be alone." Tamsin tried to hold back the acidity in deference to the presence of Heather, who could more than likely hear every word, even as she busied herself unloading suitcases and boxes from the boot of the car. From the look on Carmen's face, she failed. "Tamsin," Carmen said, her exasperation evident. "I am your agent, not Wonder Woman. Besides, in the UK today, there are very few places where you can truly be in solitude and yet still have many of the comforts you are used to." She walked over to Tamsin and placed a gentle hand on her forearm. "This will give you the time you need. And my aunt has assured me that the other tenant is after just as much peace and quiet as you are. I doubt you'll even see her." Relief swamped Tamsin at the mention of the other person's gender. At least she wouldn't have to deal with the unwanted advances of some middle-aged man who'd
always been a fan and always wanted to meet you in person.
She received enough of that any time she walked into a restaurant or cafe, even when trying to be incognito. Knowing she was being unreasonable, and knowing just how hard Carmen had worked to set up this retreat for her, Tamsin let out a slow breath and smiled. "Thank you. I know you've done wonders in making this happen. You are my Wonder Woman, always." Carmen blushed and dipped her head, scuffing her shoe against the gravel at their feet.
"Shut up."
Tamsin smirked. "Come on, let's get me settled in, shall we?" She leaned into the car to retrieve her handbag and coat. Coming upright, just as Carmen attempted to lift one of the suitcases and yelped as the weight of it nearly brought her to her knees.
Shit, this weighs a ton. What have you got in it?
Your next bonus payment, Tamsin purred. So keep quiet and carry it. Carmen huffed and lugged the suitcase over to the cottage's front door. Heather, who was exiting as Carmen approached, took one look at her struggling and held out a hand.
Careful, it's heavy, Carmen said, passing it over.
Heather, much to Tamsin's merriment, grasped the case in one very competent hand and carried it into the house as if it weighed no more than a bag of feathers. Carmen glared at her.
Shut up.
Tamsin laughed out loud. Right, Carmen said, rubbing her hands together. I think that is you sorted. Tamsin matched her in looking around the cottage. The living area and kitchen had been combined into one big room, warmed by a larger-than-expected fireplace set in the end wall. They'd lit the fire as soon as they'd finished bringing in all the luggage. Then, while Heather waited out in the car, Tamsin and Carmen had inspected the kitchen, checked that the fridge and pantry had been stocked with everything Tamsin had requested, and taken a cursory look at the bedroom and bathroom. Everything was appointed with enough luxury to keep Tamsin in the lifestyle to which she'd become accustomed, and she'd witnessed Carmen's fairly disguised sigh of relief when she'd announced she was very happy with the place.
Yes, everything else I can do myself after you've gone. And please, you must thank your aunt for me, Tamsin said, as they strolled towards the front door. She has done an amazing job at such short notice. You've spent my money well.
Carmen laughed.
Oh yes, trust me, she's been very well reimbursed for this. I'm sure she thought I was joking when I asked for a case of champagne along with everything else.
You certainly are like no other guest she's had here.
Are you sure we can rely on her not to go to the press? Panic fluttered in Tamsin's stomach.
Of course.
Carmen was wide-eyed. Really, Tamsin, you do need to trust my judgment on things like this. Have I ever let you down? Tamsin's panic transmuted to shame. No. She pulled Carmen into a hug. You never have, and I seriously doubt you ever will. Sorry. Carmen gave her a squeeze before pulling away. Forgiven. She looked around once more. Sure you're going to be okay? Tamsin took a deep breath. No, she wasn't sure. Not at all. But that wasn't what Carmen needed to hear. I'll be fine. This is, as you said, just what I need. And I will do that thinking you suggested. I promise I won't just wallow in champagne for 2 weeks. Carmen chuckled. That's good to hear. Okay, mobile reception can be a little patchy up here, but you've got Wi-Fi in the cottage, so you can always email, okay? Tamsin saluted. Understood, ma'am. She laughed as Carmen rolled her eyes. Don't worry, I'll be fine. I'm a grown-up. Carmen's expression turned serious, her forehead creasing into a frown. I really hope so, Tam. We can't have a repeat of what happened with Don. I know you know that. She raised her hands as Tamsin started to object. But I'm serious. Get this sorted out in your head. I understand. You know I do. But this is the industry we work in, and this is the way it is. Baby steps, Tam. You're not the only one wanting to change it, but there are ways and means, right? Tamsin's frustration came from knowing both that Carmen was right and that it was ridiculous she was the one who'd had to run and hide with her tail between her legs. It should be Don having to think things over, not her. She gritted her teeth and smiled. Right, got it. I'll be a new woman when you come back to collect me. Trust me. She crossed her fingers behind her back, hoping Carmen wouldn't see. With a shake of her head and a rueful smile, Carmen walked out the front door. Moments later, Tamsin heard the car pulling away, and flopped down onto the small red leather sofa facing the fire. The flames mesmerized her and soothed her, banishing the troubled thoughts from her mind. She woke some time later, an awful crook in her neck from falling asleep sitting up. A quick glance at her watch told her she'd only snoozed for about an hour. Her rumbling stomach told her she had missed lunch. Well, that's easily remedied, and at least it will get me up and moving. God knows I can't sit here for 2 weeks doing nothing. She found a carton of organic tomato soup in the fridge and heated it up, while she organized the food she'd requested. It would be so tempting to ignore her healthy diet while on this retreat, but she knew she'd only regret it. So into the cupboard went her organic granola, seed mixes and dried fruit, her Asian ingredients and her vitamins. In the fridge there was already plenty of low-fat yogurt, vegetables, fruit, organic chicken, organic soups and fresh juices. And champagne. It was her one concession to being forced, as she saw it, into this position. After pouring the hot soup into a bowl and placing that on a tray, she ate in front of the fire. It was more soothing than she would have imagined not to be surrounded by the noise of the radio or TV, her usual accompaniments at home. There was a TV in the cottage, and probably a radio somewhere, but somehow she didn't need them. The crackling of the fire kept her company, and she was surprised at how calm she already felt. She knew there was only so long a person could maintain anger, but she hadn't expected it to dissipate quite this quickly. She smiled. Maybe, like Carmen had said, this place would do her good after all. Why the hell did I pack so many? Tamsin swore loudly for the third time as she lugged the case into the bedroom, cursing herself for being old school. All of this would have been so much easier if she'd ever invested in an e-reader. But no, she had to go all traditional and buy paperbacks. Stupid. Giving up on even the idea of lifting the thing onto the bed, she opened it on the floor. The sight of all the books that awaited her instantly wiped the scowl off her face. Hello, my beauties. Slowly, almost reverently, she lifted each book from its resting place and laid them out on the bed. Spreading them into two long rows widened her smile. So much joy to be had in the coming few weeks. Her secret pleasure, to be indulged at a rate of a book a day with any luck. She probably could have brought more, but knew it would be better for her health if she made sure she actually left the cottage each day. So she'd planned to split her time between reading, yoga, and long walks around the estate. Carmen's aunt owned 50 acres, all of it encircled by private woodland with walking paths woven throughout. Tamsin couldn't remember the last time she'd actually taken a solo walk. Back in London, or any of the cities where she was usually based around the world, she was too recognizable to risk it, always ensuring she had someone with her to fend off her wide-eyed fans or offer a quick escape from the more persistent ones. Here, though, she had every hope that some quiet time would be hers. Time amongst the trees, the birds and the sounds of the wind. But first, finish the unpacking, then some yoga to ease out the kinks. In the end, she decided to leave the books in their suitcase. While there was a small bookcase on the wall facing the bed, it was already filled with a pitiful collection of trashy novels supplied by the owner, and she couldn't be bothered rearranging it all. After changing into soft yoga pants and a loose t-shirt, she unrolled her mat on the polished wood floor of the bedroom. The area at the end of the walnut-framed bed, between it and the bookcase, was plenty wide enough, and it meant she almost faced the window. She cracked it open, delighting in the swell of birdsong and cool, fresh air that immediately filtered into the room. At each standing pose, she only had to swivel her eyes a fraction to see the trees and the weak afternoon sunshine casting a golden glow across the sky. Dropping into downward dog, she reveled in the slight pull of her spinal muscles, the easing out of her hips and hamstrings. At 52, her body was in better shape than she might have anticipated in her late teens, when she had still been trying to lose the last of her puppy fat, feeling awkward and gangly in her still-developing body. Now, after years of being in the public eye, and the adoration and abuse, in equal parts, that exposure bestowed on her, the yoga she'd practiced all that time had enabled her to maintain the slimness that was expected of her, as well as a suppleness that, for her, was far more important. Easing back into child's pose, she moaned with pleasure as her spine stretched, her arms held out in front of her on the floor. Damn, that felt good. She held it for a little longer than usual, then came upright to sit on her feet. Finished with her breathing exercises, she let her shoulders roll and lower as the glow of her workout warmed every inch of her skin. Almost better than sex. Almost. She smiled to herself, stood up and walked to the bathroom to pat down her warm body with a small towel. Once she'd changed back into sweatpants and a hoodie, she hauled her big slippers from under the bed and wriggled her feet into them. Tonight was all about making a delicious dinner, drinking a couple of glasses of champagne, and curling up on the sofa with a good book. She shivered in anticipation and turned to the suitcase holding her books. Okay, which one of you is first? 2 minutes later, her choice in hand as she wandered through to the kitchen, dropping the book on the sofa as she passed by. She stoked the fire and added another large log. That would see her through the evening, she suspected. After pulling some vegetables and chicken from the fridge, she went in search of a chopping board and a knife. She had just grabbed both implements when a sharp bark out back had her gasping and almost dropping the knife. She crept over to the door. Not being a huge fan of dogs, she hoped this one wasn't right on her doorstep. A quick peek out of the glass that formed the top third of the door gave her a sense of relief. The dog, a small brown wiry thing, was in her garden, but not that close to the door. How had it gained access to her garden? She glanced around. Oh, there, an open gate where the garden adjoined the path that led to the woods. So where was the dog's owner? Oh, well, not her problem. Not unless the little mutt came any closer. She stepped back and continued with her chopping. A minute later, a woman's voice called, "Gizmo! Gizmo! Where the hell are you, you little shit?" Tamsin snorted. Gizmo, what a name. Although on reflection, perfectly suited to the scrawny little beast. And at least the voice confirmed that the neighbour was indeed female. "Gizmo, get back here!" A couple of quick yelps, their volume receding as the dog clearly scampered away, signalled that peace was restored to Tamsin's corner of the world. Perfect. Just me and the latest Maddie Jones. She glanced over at the book where it lay, enticing her on the sofa. Soon, sweetheart, soon. Chapter 3 Maggie stared down at Gizmo, her scolding face on. "You, young man, are in a heap of trouble." Gizmo blinked, then licked his chops. Was he actually grinning at her, little git? She shook her head, then laughed. Gizmo barked and jumped up a couple of times. "All right, all right. God, why can't I resist you?" She crouched down and accepted his licks and snuffles all over her face. Stroking his head and back, she sighed. He was a cheeky little sod, but his love for her always made her feel better. "Come on, that's enough fresh air for today. Time for snuggles by the fire." Strolling through the trees had become her new favourite thing this past week. Usually they were confined to the local park near her house in Putney. Having such an expanse to play in, had sent her beloved border terrier into paroxysms of delight, and his enthusiasm was infectious. So what if she hadn't written a single...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?